Today is Monday, August 1st, 2011. This is episode 194.
Countless Screaming Argonauts is brought to you by Shane Ryan and Seth Curry Saves Duke, a blog featuring sports analysis on the country's two most hated teams, the Duke University Blue Devils and the New York Yankees.
Welcome to Countless Screaming Argonauts. I am T-Fab-P, the Fabulous Penguin.
And I'm Max.
Max, we're going for a record tonight. We got so much stuff. We got a boatload of stuff. We're going to try to get as many in as we can, okay?
All right.
All right, here we go. Number one, a little update to last week. We just don't want to get this show in, do we?
I'm just going to ignore it. I'll get back to him later.
All right.
Sorry.
Okay, that's okay. All right, we'll start out with a update to last week. Remember last week we were talking about NIMBY and the wind towers?
Right.
Right. Okay, an Australian company called Environ Mission has signed a contract with the state of Arizona to produce a solar updraft tower in Arizona to produce clean energy, enough power to light and electrify 150,000 homes.
Hmm.
Here's the problem, Max. It's a solar tower that is 2,625 feet tall.
26, half a mile tall?
Yes, it is two and a half times the size of the Empire State Building.
Wow.
But it produces enough electricity, just one tower, to light 150,000 U.S. homes.
All right.
Its efficiency is over 60%, and there's no maintenance.
Yeah,
it uses the solar power of the lower altitude to heat the air, run it up the tube to turn the turbines to produce the electricity.
Just normal circulation, what do you call it?
Yeah, right. Yeah. Updraft, whatever you call that.
Yeah, that thing.
So, not in my backyard? What do you think, 2,600 feet tower?
I'm thinking there's got to be a better way somehow.
I mean, if you put that out in the middle of the desert, you'd be able to see it from Phoenix.
Yeah. Well, you know, if it's – where is it going to be, Kansas?
No, in Arizona, somewhere in the desert of Arizona.
I don't know. Desert of Arizona, it would be a case by case. I'd have to see it.
You may get your chance. They expect to be done by 2015.
Oh, they're building it, huh?
They're building it. They got all the stuffs in place. So we'll get back on that story, I'm sure.
Yeah, I don't know that I want to make a firm judgment on it. That's interesting, and not, I'm not real excited about it, but I'm not totally willing to wipe it out either.
Okay, next on to my favorite political topic, which is hypocrisy. I got three this week. All right, the first one. I don't know if you heard about this. Did you hear about Newt Gingrich and the Newt Gingrich 2012 T-shirts?
No.
All right, so Newt's doing a press conference last Wednesday, and he holds up a Newt in 2012 T-shirt, and he says this T-shirt presents his feeling about how we're supposed to get American jobs, that we need to hire Americans to do these American jobs, right?
Okay,
he
so
said,
far.
This T-shirt, made in America. He said, that's what we got to do. And then an ABC producer raised her hand and said, I just picked the shirt up, and it says it's made in El Salvador. And Gingrich said, well, I'll have to get back to you on that.
Yeah. He's obviously not interested. I don't know what the hell is his problem, but he's not putting his heart in it, and he's not going to go anywhere.
It's a race to see just how many times he can shoot himself in the foot.
It's really remarkable.
So now on to Rick Perry, everybody's favorite Republican. Okay, who the day after New York legalized gay marriage said, and this is a direct quote, that's New York and that's their business and that's fine with me. That's their call. If you believe in the 10th Amendment, stay out of their business.
And the 10th Amendment, you're going to have to remind me.
The 10th Amendment is states' rights.
Oh, yes. The
All right.
The battle cry of the American South and people who wanted to secede like Rick Perry.
There you go. However, the Family Research Council got on his ass over the remark, and a couple of days later, he went on to announce that he was supporting a constitutional amendment banning gay marriage.
Yeah. Yeah, well, they're all whipped by their political partisans and
they're all
money supplies. Yeah. Right?
And number three, darling Michelle Bachmann.
Our favorite.
Who, again, expensive makeup and all. Again.
The expensive makeup, I don't know what that's referring to.
Oh, she filed her first political expenses budget.
Yeah.
And she spent $5,000 on hair and makeup.
Well, she does use a lot of eyeliner. But, you know, that's a good-looking woman.
So, here's the hypocrisy, though.
Okay.
Just weeks before, she called for the dismantling of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac during a House Financial Services Committee hearing.
Yeah.
She and her husband signed a $417,000 home loan to finance their move to a new golf course home that was financed by
Freddie Mac.
They also have loans, including a home equity line of credit, a business mortgage, and other business loans for their Christian counseling clinic.
Oh, yes.
Bringing
we know about
their
that.
Liability to over $1 million.
Yeah.
She is the leading critic of expanding the federal debt of not expanding the federal debt limit, and said, when managing your family budget, you don't spend more than you have, and our government should be no different.
Right.
Okay, by my, she's spending $1 million more than she had.
She had, and she's actually expanding her own personal economy, by the
yes,
way.
Yes. Uh-huh.
That's how borrowing is expanding the economy. As long as you pay it back and make your payments, it's okay to borrow.
Right.
I guess I need to talk to her.
Well, somebody needs to talk to her.
You think she's being hypocritical?
I think that that's very, very hypocritical.
I think you're right.
All right. Did you hear about this one, about the Secretary of the Interior, Ken Salazar, who extended the moratorium on uranium mining near the Grand Canyon?
No.
Okay. So he's expanded the moratorium, basically stating that we're going to have no for a million acres near the canyon, there's going to be a moratorium. No more mining there. Sounds like a good idea?
Yeah.
Okay, except to Arizona Republican Jeff Flake.
They do have the best names.
Yes, he wants to reverse Salazar's decision and make it possible to mine near the park.
Right, because if there were polar bears there, they could kill them. They want to destroy animal life as we know it.
Uh-huh.
All right, that's a little overextended, but
well, the polar bears, the wolves up in Alaska, the whales.
Right. Yeah. Why should you preserve the natural beauty of the country in an unbelievably unique place like the Grand Canyon when you can dig a hole there?
That's it. Exactly. You can dig a hole there.
Yeah.
So I got a story of an innocent man.
All right.
Okay, from Pocatello, Idaho.
Right.
Okay, the news broadcast that a suspicious man driving a tan or brown van was seen at a local park taking pictures of children and questioned whether he was a pedophile or a murderer or possibly a pervert.
Right.
They then said on the news report that he ran off when confronted by parents. If anyone has information about this man, Local News 8 reported, police would like them to call dispatch.
Okay.
The man himself called dispatch.
Yeah.
And he told them that he was at the park taking pictures of his grandson. And when they asked him about the whole ran away thing, he said, I didn't run away. I walked away because this woman had gotten very, very close to me and was yelling at me. And so I decided I didn't want to deal with it, and so I walked away.
Oh.
Police said they're no longer worried about the man, and he's not suspicious.
Well, they probably, hopefully, actually checked his story and, you know, could see if he was related to one of the children that was at the park at that time.
How easy to make a mistake, though, right?
Well, yeah. I heard a story from a woman, actually, whose child was murdered, who said, you've got to let them go. And she cited a bunch of statistics that said that children are safer now than ever, statistically, that yeah, bad things happen, and all we do is seem to concentrate on, you know, little this cute person or that cute person, and everybody freaks out, and you got CNN and Fox News
and local news.
And local news, you know, developing graphics for Susie's missing. And, yeah, Susie is missing sometimes. But on the whole, children are safer. And we need to take a breath once in a while.
We did a story once about a woman, I believe she was in Chicago, who sent her 11-year-old on his own to get home from someplace on
New York,
the train.
On the subway. Yeah.
Was that New York?
Yep.
I wasn't sure where it was. You know, again, I mean, an interesting story.
Yeah, it was the same kind of topic, and we were running through similar things where we said similar things.
Okay, now I got another. This one's going to titillate you a little bit, all right?
I'm for that.
This is the other side of the immigration law. So immigration officials raided the University of Northern Virginia,
right,
which is a for-profit college that was recently the subject of an investigation on student visa scams.
Right.
During their investigation, they discovered pictures of the University of Northern Virginia's chancellor, CEO, David Lee,
uh-oh,
suburban sex dungeon and bondage racks in his house that were posted on the internet.
On the internet, yeah.
He was so into domination and sadomasochism that he transformed his basement into a suburban dungeon complete with bondage racks. 64 years old, had put an ad on the internet looking for an attractive, submissive woman who wished to be part of our poly family. Ideally, you consider yourself a slave or sub with slave tendencies.
Uh-huh. But you know what? I don't actually have a problem with that. If people want to do these things in the privacy of their own basement, I don't care.
You know, I was kind of hoping that that's what you would say.
Uh-oh.
Okay, no, because I sort of feel the same way.
Yeah.
But how would you feel if you just paid $27,000 for your son or daughter's tuition at the college where the guy's a suburban sex dungeon maniac or something?
Yeah, I
mean, you're going to have second thoughts about that, I think. Perhaps it's not the kind of thing that a for-profit college chancellor should be doing.
Well,
I'm just going to throw that out there.
Right. I would prefer that if I had a child and they were going to college, that the chancellor of the college was not this guy. But I do think it's possible that he's able to separate his own particular titillations from the running of the school. Maybe I'm right. No, you know, if he's attacking.
I mean, it's one of those things. I mean, you know, I'm sure they're going to continue to investigate this, and all you need is one connection between what he does privately,
right,
and the university, and it's
well,
all over.
You would hope he would have been more discreet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
well, you know, it's the internet.
Yeah.
It's anonymous. It's the internet.
Right. Nobody will know me because I'm on the internet.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what to make of that, honestly.
I don't either, but I just, you know, I just thought of College Boy, and if I was paying $24,000 a year or $30,000 a year to send my kid to college, I wouldn't want to find out that
the chairman
that
of the college
was in domination and sadomasochism. I don't know. Call me weird.
And you know what? Because I'm old-fashioned and sexist, it would bother me a lot more if my daughter was going to the school than if my son was going to the school.
Oh, there you go. I mean, that's a whole big part of it, too, I guess.
Yeah, I don't see this guy as a threat to College Boy. Yeah, and I'm an old-fashioned sexist. I'm sorry. I don't know what to say.
So on to the next story. Are you familiar with the Whitey Bulger story at all?
Just that they captured him and he was a long-time criminal.
Right. Long time. He was from Massachusetts, as a matter of fact. And,
yeah.
And it was a big deal. He was gone for a long time.
They caught him in Boston, right?
No, they caught him in California. They brought him back to Boston
for
his trial or whatever they're going to do. Now, are you familiar with the name D.B. Cooper?
Yes, I do. And I heard a story about him on the way home from work. And I knew who he was anyway.
Did they say that they may think that they may know who he is?
Yes, they said that. And they they may let us know when they have figured it out, which may take till Thanksgiving because it's not a high priority. They think he's dead.
Right.
But maybe you better remind the people.
Yeah, the FBI said they have a promising lead.
But you should remind the people who might not know who D.B. Cooper is.
D.B. Cooper was a guy who in 1971 hijacked a plane, stole $200,000, parachuted the plane, and disappeared off the face of the earth.
Right.
And a lot of people suspect that he died, but they never found the parachute, the money that was marked.
But they found some of it?
They found some of it, but not anywhere close to...
to the large amount, right.
Thing. The Seattle Times is reporting that a person provided the FBI with an item that may have had fingerprints on it that can be compared to those that the suspect left on the airplane.
So, yeah, it would be interesting. It's one of those intriguing stories. I think they've made a movie of his life. I know they've used that story for other movies that are fictional. He's kind of an anti-hero hero. He's a legend. And it was 40 years ago. People still talk about D.B. Cooper. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm dying to know.
I am too. I mean, you know, everybody. I mean, it's like one of those urban legends. This guy jumps out of the plane and disappears, right. And nobody knows where he is. And 40 years later, you find him.
Yeah.
I mean, that's wild. The prospect of that is absolutely wild.
Yeah, they interviewed a woman on the radio who said, "I should have started taking pictures every time somebody came through here who fit the description. I'd have a book now."
Wow.
From that area. He landed in the wild mountainous area of the Northwest somewhere.
Right. But I mean in an area where people do hike and hunt and people do go there and they've never found the parachute or his clothes or any of that other stuff.
And they said on the news he ordered 4 parachutes, which I think is interesting.
I don't know.
I'm trying to figure out why that would be
case one of them failed. I don't know.
Yeah.
So they couldn't do something? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. It's an interesting story. I would like to know, just because of my curiosity, what the real deal is there.
Sure. So, on to the next one. You and I often do stories about words. We both like words.
Yeah.
And, I mean, a couple of weeks ago, we were doing a thing about how we pronounce words and how that's pronounced and stuff like that.
Right. We're going to do some more of that sometime, I hope, because I got the long list.
I do hope. But I came across this British BBC blog the other day.
Right.
Where a bunch of people shared favorite Americanisms.
Okay.
You and I talk about the lift, you know, because that's a British term and stuff.
Right. The elevator.
These people were talking about, Americanisms that they couldn't stand as British people.
Right.
And I thought they were pretty interesting.
As speakers of the Queen's English.
Right. So the first one said, "I'm hearing more and more people pronounce the letter Z as Z."
Yeah.
"And I'm not happy about it. It should be pronounced
Zed."
Zed.
Yeah, I had that conversation with the same guy I was talking to about the space program from Canada last week. Mm-hmm. He reads me serial numbers every once in a while from different computers we work on.
And he said Zed?
He says Zed every time, and I say Z back to him, because it's Z.
Yeah, it's Zed.
it's Zed.
It's a Breathman. It's a Candyman. I mean,
you know, at some point it's going to stick with me and be Zed, and I don't know whether I'm happy about that or not.
Well, I mean, those things happen. Okay, so a couple more Americanisms. One of the guys said, "I can't believe that you guys say I could care less when you really mean I couldn't care less."
I think about this all the time, and I can't figure it out.
I can't either. I mean, it makes perfect sense to say I couldn't care less, but not I could care less, and I don't get it either. I never say that. I have to admit, it's one of those that bothers the shit out of me.
I don't know which is the worst. If I couldn't care less, it should be I couldn't care less, right? If I could care less, then I should care less.
Okay, next one on the list was somebody who claimed that they can't stand when Americans say that their family is Scotch-Irish. He said it's Scots, as in S-C-O-T-S, not Scotch, which is a drink.
Right. As a matter of fact, I have a little bit of that denomination in me, and I've often wondered what the right way to say it is. I think that's the way my dad says it. I think he says Scotch-Irish, but it's Scots-Irish.
I think Mrs. Fab P's family says that, too. All right, next up on the list, a guy said, I hate it when you guys say, I got it for free. It's not for free, it's you got it free.
That's interesting.
Don't say when you get something cheap, I got it for cheap, do you?
I have heard that. I got it for cheap. Yeah, well, you know what they say? They say, I'm going to hospital, to which I want to know the definitive article. Which hospital are you going to? Are you going to the hospital?
Or a hospital.
Or a hospital. Or Our Lady of the Perpetual Hangnail. I want to know what hospital. I'm going to hospital? I'm sorry. That's wrong.
The final one in the list was a guy who said that you can't say you do the math. It's supposed to be maths.
Really?
Yeah. Now, I can't deal with it because I don't know whether that's true or not. But, I mean, you know, somebody from London, England said that you're supposed to be maths.
Well, how many additions do you have to do before it's maths?
I would say two.
You think?
Yeah. One, two. Then it's plural.
What? But there are some nouns that are the same singular and plural.
Right. Well, this I don't think is one of them. If the guy's saying it's maths, this is not dolphin. This is not dolphin here.
Maybe it is. You do all the math.
Uh-huh.
All of the math problems that are there.
Well, it's not data either.
Well, I think it's a data. I like to say data.
But, I mean, data is a plural or a singular.
Right. But there's a way that people say that irritates me, too.
Uh-huh.
The data, I think.
Right.
To me, it's a plural word.
Well, I don't know. That like I said, that's one I can't deal with. Because I just don't know.
I don't know. I'll have to think about it. Yeah.
Yep. Okay, now I know this is a pet peeve of yours, and that's the Google AdWords where they read your emails and pull out. Okay?
Yes.
Well, I just found out, very, very interesting, the way that the Google is making money is that they allow companies to bid against each other for ownership of keywords.
Wow.
Right now, the number one keyword in Google AdWords is insurance. And for that word, you have to pay $54 per click.
But you have to click through on the ad?
Yes. Number two keyword is loans, which is $44 a click. The number three word is mortgage, which is $47 per click. And the number four word is attorney, which is $47 also per click.
You notice a trend here?
Yes, I do notice the trend. But this is my thought about this, Max. What would prevent you from just start like clicking like mad and making these companies pay $57 a click?
Yeah.
Just to do it.
The fact that you'd have to go to another web page, it would actually be work. I see ads when I send Google emails that are relevant in some way to things that I've written. And I see ads that are relevant in some way to things that people mm-hmm. have sent me that are written. And then I see ads that are weird. And I go, what were they writing? Because I know I didn't write anything about it. You know, and then I see ads for this stuff and I'm like, really?
Just a couple of days ago, I sent College Boy a video of a Microsoft parody that they produced
for
one of their in-house meetings about Gmail with the reading your emails.
Right,
and
are
we're
you
just
reading
skimming
my
it. It's
email,
okay.
No. We're reading all the emails.
No, I'm
and
just,
we're just
skimming it, looking for keywords.
I liked it. I thought that was a really good commercial.
Right.
You know, I used to hate Microsoft because they were the big bully on the block. And now I'm kind of rooting for them. Against Google?
Uh-huh.
Against
who?
Apple?
Google? Are you familiar with Truck Nuts?
I am. Unfortunately, I have seen Truck Nuts, and it didn't make me laugh.
Okay. Well, in South Carolina, a 65-year-old woman has been accused of violating the state obscenity law by hanging a pair of Truck Nuts from the back of her pickup truck.
Well, and why not?
I guess Carolina, South Carolina, has solved all their other problems. They can focus on a 65-year-old woman with truck nuts.
Well, all right, I'll give you that. It's silly enough. But what if she was driving around with an 8-inch dildo in her back window? Is that the same thing?
I don't know. You're going to get into morality here?
I think we're talking about relative morality, yeah.
What about if they have a bumper sticker that says, fuck you?
Yeah, how many times have you seen a bumper sticker of Calvin and Hobbes with the little kid peeing on somebody else's car manufacturer's title?
So are you going to depend on the state to set the moral high ground?
Unfortunately, yeah. That's
are you?
That's what
we are talking about South Carolina here, aren't we?
Well, yeah, unfortunately we are. States, how many states still have sodomy laws?
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess it falls in the same.
What if somebody had, what if this 68-year-old woman didn't feel safe in her car, so she had an inflatable sex toy riding next to her, you know, in the passenger seat?
For companionship.
And what if it was an 18-year-old kid with an artificial vagina? You know, they make those things. Can you put that, hang that off of the trailer hitch?
I've seen some pretty gross and provocative bumper stickers. So
yeah, unfortunately, it is up to the states, and I am mildly offended because I think the person who put the truck nuts on their car wants to offend. Here, I'm showing you a pair of fake testicles. You know, I mean, I think the easiest thing to do is to ignore them. But why are they there?
Well. Because the person has a right to freedom of expression, I guess.
Right.
And she's making a statement of sorts. Why does somebody have a bumper sticker that says Obama's a Muslim? Why does somebody have a bumper sticker that says, you know, the government should have cake sales and teachers should get money? I mean, why do we do those things? So it's a form of expression.
It's a form of expression, but in every case, there is a line. And in every case, it's juries, i.e.
Well, I'm more offended by the Obama's a Muslim one than I am by the
truck nuts. What if somebody had a bumper sticker that said "Kill Obama"?
Right. Well, I mean, you know, we've talked about that before. You can't say that without getting into trouble.
So that's over the line, right? Clearly.
Sure, but to my way of thinking, so is saying Obama's a Muslim.
I find that offensive. Especially since they know it's not true.
Well, and you also find truck nuts offensive. But,
right.
I mean, is there a degree of offense?
Right to be free of offense? No. So
I just don't think I want South Carolina making that decision for me.
You want to do a show like this in 27 minutes. Well, lots of luck.
Hi, this is Miss Nicole of 8 Beer Sampler Productions. You've been listening to Max and T-Fab-P, the fabulous penguin of Countless Screaming Argonauts, the podcast of record. Listen to their podcast adventures at csapodcast.blogspot.com or download it free from the iTunes podcast store. Just search Countless Screaming Argonauts. The boys love to hear from you, so email them at csapodcast@gmail.com. Finally, if you want to show your allegiance to the show, pick up some CSA swag and help make the boys famous. You can purchase hats, shirts, and mugs along with other appropriate gear at Cafe Press. Click the link on their webpage. And thanks for listening.